Desde nuestros alumnos, la Coordinación Pedagógica de Vaughan asegura un ambiente de inmersión cuidado y de calidad. Campamentos de verano Vaughan, 91-133-5832. No lo dejes para el último momento, 91-133-5832.
Para más información sobre cualquiera de nuestros cursos, llámanos al 91-133-5833 y te ayudaremos con lo que necesites. 91-133-5833.
Esta es La Hora Extra con Richard Vaughan.
Hello and welcome. Welcome to a new edition of the Extra Hour Monday evening. It's Monday evening. Yes, sir. Have you survived this Monday? Yes, the second Monday of May. May 10th, which means the previous Monday was May 3rd, which means the following Monday is May 17th, then May 24th, and then May 31st. So there are five Mondays in this month. Let me think that over again, just a second. Let's see. The Monday the 3rd was a holiday in the community of Madrid last week. All right. Then Monday the 10th, today, that's two. Monday the 17th, Monday the 24th, and Monday the 31st. The last day of the month will be a Monday. The last day of the month of May, falls on a Monday. So there are five Mondays in this month. All right. So, let's enjoy it. Well, it's over. Monday is almost over. We have only 2 hours left, and then we will start Tuesday, the best day of the week for learning English, after Monday. And it's a really good day for learning English. So, let's get going. Questions. Ask me these pertinent questions. Yes. You always have. How many questions do you have for me? I have 10 questions. Well, are they interesting? These questions are very, very relevant. Relevant for what? Relevant for anything imaginable, especially improving your English. Okay, well, I'm intrigued. I'm looking forward to hearing these questions. So, shoot, my friend. Fire away. Si dices shoot, dispara para hacer preguntas. So, fire away. Si dices fire, como fuego. Fuego discreción, fire. We say fire away. Fire away. But if you're in charge of a firing squad, si eres el jefe del pelotón de fusilamiento, you don't say fire away. You say ready, aim, fire. All right. But you don't say fire away. Fire away means dispara todo lo que puedas. Fire away. All right, Richard, can whales survive in fresh water? No, they can't. Does 90% of the world population live north of the equator? Yes, it does. Did Barack Obama serve 2 terms as president of the United States? Yes, he did. Do you always say heads whenever someone flips a coin? No, I don't. Are tarot cards used to predict the future? Yes, they are. Does coffee taste bitter with no sugar or sweetener? For me, no. No, it doesn't. Did you get a good night's sleep last night? Yes, I did. Is brethren the normal way to refer to the plural of brother? No, it's not. Have you ever seen your face on a billboard? No, I haven't. Billboard, no. Is resorting to threats a valid way to motivate people to do things? Valid? No. No, it's not. Sometimes effective, but not valid. All right. Repeat the questions, please. All right. Can whales survive in fresh water? No, they can't. Does 90% of the world population live north of the equator? Yes, it does. Did Barack Obama serve two terms as President of the United States? Yes, he did. Do you always say heads whenever someone flips a coin? No, I don't. Are tarot cards used to predict the future? Yes, they are. Does coffee taste bitter with no sugar or sweetener? For me, it doesn't. Did you get a good night's sleep last night? Yes, I did. Is brethren the normal word or the normal way to refer to the plural of brother? No, it's not. Have you ever seen your face on a billboard? No, I haven't. Is resorting to threats a valid way to motivate people to do things? No, it's not. All right, let's go back. Number one, can whales survive in fresh water? Can whales survive? Whales, las ballenas. Whale. Whales. You know, I wonder, the British don't aspirate the WH. What? Where? When? Why? Sounds funny to me. Why? Why do you spell it with a Y? ¿Por qué lo escribes con Y? Why? Why? Why do you spell it with a Y? And we say whale. Whale. Sí, yo podría soplar velas, o sea, apagar velas, diciendo ballena. Whale. 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 I wonder if I have a British listener can tell me if he or she says whale. The whales. The white whale. Moby Dick was a white. It sounds awful. Moby Dick was a white whale. That sounds bad to me. I can't believe the British don't blow a little bit with the WH. Moby Dick was a white whale. White whale. White whale. Ballena blanca. Moby Dick era una ballena blanca. Moby Dick was a white whale. It was a white whale that lived in the South Atlantic and in the... I think it was in the Indian Ocean. I think they went around the Cape of Good Hope. Yes, to encounter Moby Dick. Where did Captain Ahab encounter Moby Dick? I think it was in the Indian Ocean. Yes. But where? In the Atlantic, in the Indian Ocean, in the Pacific, all three? Ah, yes. Well, let me formulate the question a different way. Where did Moby Dick kill Captain Ahab? All right. Yes. All right. Where? I can't find the information. That's your homework, okay? I think it was in the Indian Ocean where Moby Dick first took Captain Ahab underwater. Captain Ahab jumped onto Moby Dick and was trying to kill him with a harpoon, a hand harpoon. And Moby Dick went underwater and stayed underwater for about 10 minutes, 5 minutes or something, in order to kill Captain Ahab. And then he came up and he charged and battered the boat, and the boat sank. Only one man survived. Yes, Ishmael. Yes. Call me Ishmael. And that's the first line. That's the first sentence in the book. Call me Ishmael. Llámame Ishmael. Call me Ishmael. It's a famous line. It's a famous line for the book. The reason I'm laughing is there's a famous cartoonist in the United States, Gary Larson, and it showed a picture of the author, Herman Melville. Call me Johnny. Call me Dick. Call me Brad. Call me Arnold. And crumbling them up and throwing them on the floor because he couldn't figure out how to start his novel. Call me Ishmael. All right. Very good. So, Moby Dick, the white whale. So my British friends would say, Moby Dick was a white whale. Was a white whale. Sounds awful to me. Was a white whale. Yes, to whale is gemir. Yeah. La ballena gemía. The whale wailed. Doesn't sound right. The whale wailed. But in any case, I think I'm in the minority in this. But let's go on. So, can whales survive in fresh water, in el agua dulce? Yes, for a certain amount of time. But not very long, I think. Maybe a few days. A whale can maybe swim up a river, entering the river through the mouth or the estuary of the river. And the whale, for example, a whale in the English Channel can swim all the way up to the Tower of London or to the Tower Bridge, for example. You can imagine people walking across the Tower Bridge. They look down and say, look, there's a whale. But it needs to turn around and go back into the open sea in order to find food and to have enough room. Whales need space, and they need food, and they don't have enough space in the rivers or in lakes, and they don't have enough food, and so they would probably die after a month. But it can survive. A whale can survive in fresh water. It doesn't need salt water. The saltiness of the water is not the question. The question is the habitat. The ocean habitat is the habitat where a whale can survive. It can't survive in a freshwater habitat, but not because of the condition of the water being free of salt. No. It's just that the hunting habitat, the food chain, is not the right for the whale. All right. It's like taking a human, a person who has lived all his life in the middle of the Amazon jungle. You take somebody, one of these lost Indian tribes, from the Amazon jungle, and you transport them by helicopter to the middle of the Sahara Desert. They will not die because of the heat or because of the sand, but they will die because they can't survive in that habitat. They can't find the food they need and things. And it's probably the same with a whale. Does 90% of the world population live north of the equator? Yes. 90% of the world population lives north of the equator. And only 10% or 11% live south. The two most populous countries in the southern hemisphere are Brazil and Indonesia. Indonesia has around 200. Indonesia is the fourth biggest country in the world in population, with about 270 million. Brazil, the bulk of the Brazilian population lives south of the equator. Maybe 1 or 2% of the Brazilian population lives north of the equator. So most of the country is south of the equator. And the population of Brazil is around, I think, 210 million people. 210 million. And those are the two biggest countries. But there are some other big countries: Australia, South Africa, Peru, Chile, Argentina, of course. Argentina's in the southern hemisphere. Half of the population of Africa lives south of the equator. Maybe. I don't know. Yes. Angola, Zimbabwe, Zambia, Mozambique, South Africa, the Congo. Well, half of the Congo. Maybe Burundi and Rwanda. I'm not sure. Tanzania. So these countries are south of the equator. I don't have a map in front of me. Madagascar is south of the equator. I'm not sure about Madagascar. I think the equator passes through Madagascar. In Spain, lo voy a mirar. I'm going to check. In Spain, you call that island Madagascar. In English, we say Madagascar. Yeah. No, Madagascar is clearly south of the equator. Most of the Congo is south of the equator. Not all of Indonesia is south of the equator. Half of Sumatra is north of the equator. Part of Borneo is north of the equator. So, yes. So it's interesting. But all of China, all of India, all of the United States, all of Europe, of course, in these are north of the equator. 90% of the world population lives north of the equator. All right. Did Barack Obama serve 2 terms as president of the United States? Yes, he did. His first term started on January 20th, 2009, and his second term started on January 20th, 2013. And so, yes, he served 2 terms of office. Well, how many presidents in recent history have served only 1 term? Well, presidents that have served recent presidents. Well, in the 20th and 21st century, presidents who have served only 1 term. William Howard Taft from 1909 to 1913 served only 1 term. Warren G. Harding from 1921 to 1923. He died in office of an illness. He served less than 1 term. Herbert Hoover, just during from 1929 to 1933, he served 1 term. That's when the Great Depression took place. It started. The collapse of Wall Street, the Wall Street crash, was during his presidency. And then John Kennedy served less than 1 term because he was assassinated in his 3rd year as president. And then Gerald Ford served less than 1 term. He served about 2.5 years because he took over as president after Richard Nixon resigned. Richard Nixon resigned during his 2nd term of office. And Gerald Ford took over, but he was unable to defeat Jimmy Carter in 1976. So Jimmy Carter served 1 term as president from 1977 to 1981. He lost to Ronald Reagan. Reagan defeated him by a landslide. Carter began in 1976. He was extremely popular. Everybody liked him. And the moment he became president, he seemed depressed. He never smiled. During the campaign, he was the smilingest person in the world. He endeared everybody to him. And the moment he was living in the White and working in the White House, he had a long face, very serious. It's a serious job, the job of the president. Ronald Reagan was constantly laughing and telling jokes while he was in office. George Bush father served 1 term, and Donald Trump served 1 term. So those are the presidents since the beginning of the 20th century who have served only 1 term. William Howard Taft, Warren Harding, Herbert Hoover, let's see, John Kennedy, Gerald Ford, Jimmy Carter, that's 6, Jimmy Carter, George Bush father, and then Donald Trump. So since the beginning of the 20th century, 121 years ago, 8 presidents have served 1 term or less. And the 2 who served less, they died in office. 1 because of an illness and 1 because of assassination. Now, William McKinley, he was assassinated in 1901, but it was during his 2nd term. I think it was during his 2nd term of office at the beginning. All right, so Barack Obama served 2 terms. Term of office means mandato, su mandato, term of office. But usually we say term, to serve 2 terms. Richard, do you always say heads? whenever somebody flips a coin. No, no. On the contrary, on the contrary, on the contrary. I always say tails. I'm a strange person. Eh? I'm an odd person. I don't know why, but as far back as I can remember, as far back as I can remember, remontando desde que yo tengo uso la memoria, as far back as I can remember, I have always said tails. I've never said heads. And I don't know why. I guess I decided to start saying tails when I was 5 years old, and I've never abandoned the habit of saying tails. Now, I think 90% of the people say heads. Always. Caro Cruz, what do you say? Do you say cara? That's heads. All right. I say tails. But I'm strange. I mean, I was born on November 9th, 1951. If you look at the numbers, 9, 11, 1951, those are six, let's see, 1, 2, 3, that's seven numbers. 9, 1, 1, 11, 1, 9, 5, 1, 1951. Every single number is odd. There's not an even number in my birth date. So I have to do odd things. And tails is the odd. Yes, odd. And so I always say tails. To flip a coin, to flip. To flip is done in Salto Mortal. Sin una voltereta, it's to flip. To flip. And we say flip a coin because if you do it properly, it goes up in the air. Como dando vueltas, boom, volteretas, boom, it comes back down into the palm of your hand and you slap it onto the back of your hand like this. And you say, heads or tails? The person says, and I say tails. And usually I win, I think. I don't know how many times in my life I've played or decided something by the flip of a coin. You can also say to toss a coin, but to toss means arrojar, lanzar al aire, lanzar una moneda al aire. To toss a coin, we say to flip, more common. To flip a coin, heads or tails. All right. Are tarot cards used to predict the future? Yes, they are. Do they predict the future well? I don't know. I don't pay attention to these things. Crystal balls, gypsies who read the palm of your hand and predict your future, tarot cards. Although there was once, I've only once has a person tried to predict my future using tarot cards. And that was maybe about 13 years ago, 12 years ago maybe. Well, it seems like 30 years ago. But it was only about 12 years ago. We're in 2021. 2009, probably. Yeah. And she, nice looking girl at a party, and she put out the tarot cards and predicted that I would have a good future, but that there would be a tall, blonde man that would cause problems for me. Okay. Well, from 2010 to 2014, more or less, there was a tall, blonde man who was very important in my business, but he didn't cause problems for me. Well, it depends on your definition of problems. He caused the normal problems you have in a normal business. I mean, I didn't suffer at all. It was just he wasn't the right person for the job. And so we let him go. But he didn't cause me problems. And that's the only tall, blonde person, man, that I know that was relevant in the past 12 years of my life. So maybe there's a tall, blonde man just around the corner waiting to give me all kinds of problems. I don't know. Tarot cards. Cartas tarot, you say in Spanish. Tarot cards. I don't know how to use, I don't understand. I've never taken the time to learn tarot card. Because predicting the future is easy. I can predict the future easily. How, Richard? By working very hard and making each day productive, focusing on today, then I know that the tomorrows, I have a good idea of how the tomorrows are going to be. Dotando el hoy de la máxima calidad, me da una buena idea de cómo van a ser los mañanas. Es una forma indirecta de predecir el futuro. Of course, something tragic could happen. You could die in a car accident. You could lose a child. The ceiling could fall and kill you. An earthquake or a meteorite could fall to the earth and crush you. But except for these bad luck, the rest is hard work. So it's easy to predict the future, except for tragic, unexpected occurrences of bad luck. It's easy to predict the future. You predict it through hard work. You don't need a crystal ball. You don't need tarot cards. You just need to make today, not tomorrow, nor the day after tomorrow, to make today the highest quality possible. All right, and with that, I'll take a break. I'll be right back.
Más información sobre cualquiera de nuestros cursos, llámanos al 91-133-5833 y te ayudaremos con lo que necesites. 91-133-5833.
Remember to follow us on social media to get all the latest information on all our offers and special deals.
¿Tienes niños? Pues, ¿qué mejor forma que aprendan inglés que haciendo lo que más les gusta? En nuestros campamentos de verano en inglés se divertirán participando en un sinfín de variadísimas actividades en un entorno seguro y 100% angloparlante, acompañados en todo momento de monitores Vaughan. Campamentos de verano para niños. No abandones tu inglés.
Las plazas vuelan, así que llama ya al 91-133-5832. 91-133-5832. Sí, dígame.
Ahora tu profesor Vaughan, desde tu casa, la oficina. Tu profesor Vaughan en clases telefónicas. Ahora más fácil y cómodo. Consigue uno de los tres planes de formación en grupovaughan.com/clases telefónicas.
Contact us now for a free level test and get started on your trimestrales right away. Your English adventure awaits. Trimestrales de Vaughan.
Nuestro curso de inglés por videoconferencia es la opción perfecta para perfeccionar tu inglés en poco tiempo y sin perder tiempo en incómodos desplazamientos. 100% online, por videoconferencia, desde cualquier lugar. Grupos de 6 personas como máximo. Horario de mañana o tarde. Prueba de nivel gratuita. ¿Qué más quieres? Nosotros no podemos darte más facilidades. Ahora te toca a ti. Entra en grupovaughan.com e infórmate sobre nuestro curso de inglés por videoconferencia.
Estás escuchando Vaughan Radio. Haz una pausa y disfruta mejorando, aprendiendo con tu curso trimestral por videoconferencia. Con todo el dinamismo e intensidad de una clase Vaughan en una plataforma rápida y de fácil instalación. Por fin llega tu mejor momento del día. Cursos trimestrales por videoconferencia. Haz tu reserva en el 91-133-5833. 91-133-5833. Lo que más miedo da al profesional español es hablar por teléfono en inglés. Por eso Vaughan ha desarrollado las clases telefónicas, en las que trabajarás tanto tu comprensión auditiva como tu fluidez oral con un auténtico crack de la enseñanza. Tú eliges la hora y la temática de cada clase. Flexibilidad absoluta. Calidad Vaughan 100%. Contrata las clases telefónicas de inglés de Vaughan para tu empresa. Llama al 91-133-5831 o entra en grupovaughan.com.
If you haven't made any decision yet about your children or young adolescents concerning summer camps, July and August and early September, we offer summer camps in different places around Spain. We also offer camps in Canada and other parts of the world. And so look into it now, because the sooner you sign up, the better. The sooner you sign up, because a time always comes in the early spring or the mid-spring in which we're full. Sometimes we're booked up, and some parents get upset. And it's usually because they didn't call in time. They waited too late. They waited too long. So for the summer camps for children or for young adolescents, think about it. Try to make your decision now and to act on it, or at least to call us in Baugan for information about this. Thank you.
Más información en el 911335832 o en grupobaugan.com.
Si tienes alguna duda o necesitas información sobre cualquiera de nuestros cursos, llámanos al 91-133-5833. Repito, 91-133-5833.
La Hora Extra con Richard Baugan.
Hello again and welcome back. Okay, are you ready? Are you ready? Yes, I'm ready. What are you ready for? I'm ready for the second half hour of Richard Vaughan Live. Oh, but it's 10 o'clock at night, 10:30 at night. My God. Are you still awake? Yes, I'm awake, and I'm ready to work hard. You tell me what I have to do, and I'll do it. All right, we'll answer the following questions. The same ones from the last half hour. But we didn't finish expanding on each one. But let's go back to the beginning. Can whales survive in fresh water? No, they can't. Does 90% of the world population live north of the equator? Yes, it does. 90% of the world population lives north of the equator. Did Barack Obama serve two terms as President of the United States? Yes, he did. From 2009 to 2017. All right. Two terms. Do you always say heads whenever someone flips a coin? No, I never. In fact, I never say heads. I say tails. Tails. Siempre digo cruz. Nunca cara. When somebody flips a coin, or when someone flips a coin. Hey, Richard, yeah. Well, no, I'll come back. Answer the questions. We'll come back. All right. Are tarot cards used to predict the future? Yes, they are. Does coffee taste bitter with no sugar or sweetener? For me, it doesn't. Did you get a good night's sleep last night? Yes, I did. Is brethren the normal way to refer to the plural of brother? No, it's not. Have you ever seen your face on a billboard? Oof, I don't think so. No, I haven't. Is resorting to threats a valid way to motivate people to do things? No, it's not. Valid, no. It's a way to motivate people, short-term, but not long-term, but not a valid way. All right, let's go back. So, in the last half hour, we spoke about whales. We spoke about the world population. We spoke about presidents of the United States who served only one term, and presidents who served two terms, like Barack Obama. And we also talked about flipping a coin. But you had a question about this. Yes, Richard, why do you say whenever? What do you mean whenever? Well, ask the question again. All right, let's see. Do you always say heads whenever someone flips a coin? Why whenever? Why not when? Well, let's see. Do you always say heads when someone flips a coin? Yeah, that's correct, too. Well, which one should I use? Either one. But what's the difference? There's a very small difference. Do you always say heads when someone flips a coin? Siempre dices cara cuando alguien tira una moneda al aire. Cuando alguien. Now, whenever Es como si siempre dices cara, siempre que alguien tire una moneda, siempre que alguien tire una moneda, whenever, cuando se dé la circunstancia que alguien tire una, whenever is more cuando más o menos alguien decida tirar. All right, it's a bit different, but it's not. Don't worry about it. Both are perfectly correct. Do you always say heads when somebody flips a coin? Do you always say heads whenever somebody flips a coin? Both are correct. And don't worry about the difference. If you reach a super, super high level, if you become an English teacher yourself, not even English teachers, I mean, I can't tell you the difference. I mean, there is a difference, and I can explain it a little bit. Whenever is more aleatorio. Siempre que surja una ocasión donde alguien tira una moneda al aire. That's whenever. When is cuando alguien tira una moneda al aire. All right. But what difference does it make? Okay, and are tarot cards used to predict the future? Yes, they are. Now, I spoke about tarot cards in the last half hour, so I'm not going to talk about it now. But question number 6 was, does coffee taste bitter? Bitter, not better. Bitter is amargo. Bitter. Bitter cas. Bitter. Does coffee taste bitter with no sugar or sweetener? For most people, yes, it does. But for me, it doesn't. Now, if you make the coffee very, very strong, yes. Yes, it tastes bitter. For example, the Italian coffee, Caffè Solo Italiano, is very, very little. I don't understand. The Caffè Solo and these things, it's very little bit of coffee, usually very thick and pasty. And so it needs sugar because it's too bitter. I prefer American-style coffee, and Spanish people don't understand that. And what? It's agua chirria, agua... Just, but it's not. It's coffee. And it's good. And I drink it black with nothing in it. Just the coffee. No sugar, no milk, no cream, no nothing. And it's coffee. It's real coffee. And you can enjoy the taste, the flavor, and the experience of drinking coffee if you drink it with nothing, no additives. When people say café, you know, café en español, mucho mejor, tal café italiano, many times it's cappuccino or café con leche or café cortado, café manchado, café whatever. Estos son tiramisus líquidos. No son café. It's not coffee. It's a sweet. Es un dulce. I mean, they put, many people, you know, have coffee with milk and they add a lot of sugar. That's not drinking coffee. That's drinking a dessert drink. It's a dessert drink. I like café con leche. And when I have coffee with milk, I add a little bit of sugar because it's a different type of consumption. It's not coffee. Well, it is coffee, but it's like eating a tiramisu or eating a coffee cake. See, una tarta de café con sabor a café. So it's not the same. But if you want to appreciate coffee, the American way is better than the European way. Well, than the Southern European way. Portugal, Spain, Italy, Greece. Although I like coffee in Spain. I mean, it's tasty. In Portugal, in Italy, you know, the café latte this is not drinking coffee. It's drinking something else, and I drink coffee, only coffee. I like the Chinese when they drink tea. It's only tea. They don't put sugar. At least the people I met in the 4 trips I made to China, they didn't put anything in the tea. And it was delicious. The tea was really, really good. Much better than the tea here in Spain or even the tea in England. And you go to Morocco or to Egypt and they drink tea all the time. But it's extremely sweet, full of sugar. That's two of And so I don't like it. But the tea in China was very, very good. I really enjoyed it. All right. So does coffee taste bitter with no sugar or sweetener? Well, if it's strong, muy cargado el café, muy concentrado. It's very, very strong and concentrated. Yes, it tastes bitter. But why drink such strong coffee? You know, a little bit lighter, a little bit softer, and it's really good. And it's an acquired taste. I enjoy it. It's an acquired taste. Did you get a good night's sleep last night? Yes, I did. I got a good night's sleep last night. I got a good night's sleep last night. I got a good night's sleep. I got a good night's sleep last night. Yes, I got a good night's sleep. Why am I singing it? Because the grammatical structure is strange. Conseguí una buena noche, un buen sueño de noche a noche. I got a good night's sleep. It's interesting because it's a good night's with an apostrophe S, sleep. Así se dice. ¿Dormiste bien anoche? O ¿has dormido bien esta noche? We say, did you get a good night's sleep last night? We always say it in the simple past, and we always say last night. Because we're talking to you, it means you are awake. And so it's no longer sleep. It's in the simple past. And we say last night. Even at 8 o'clock in the morning when you get up. I didn't sleep well last night. We don't say I didn't sleep well. Well, you could say in Spanish, you know, llegas al trabajo. You arrive at the office, you know, and you're sleepy. And a workmate says, or a co-worker says, oof. Te veo muy mal hoy. You look awful today. He dormido fatal esta noche. Now, that's how you say it here in Spain. He dormido fatal. In English, dormí. Dormí fatal. Anoche. Even at 8 o'clock in the morning. If you're at the office, it's anoche. The night is over. It's the beginning of the day. Because you're working. I didn't sleep well last night. I didn't get a good night's sleep. Se suele decir este segundo mucho más. Trágicamente, porque es complicado. I didn't get a good night's sleep. Now, don't worry about it. If you say I didn't sleep well last night, it's perfect. Or I slept like an angel. I slept like an angel last night. Yes. Or I didn't sleep very well last night. It's perfect English. And so I recommend you learn to say that. But you need to understand. I didn't get a good night's sleep last night. Or I got a good night's sleep. Finally, I got a good night's sleep. After 2 weeks, I haven't been able to sleep well. And finally, I got a good night's sleep last night. I got a good night's sleep last night. I got a good night's sleep. I got a good night's sleep last night. Yes, I got a good night's sleep. Night's sleep. I said night's apostrophe S. Say la tengo less sleep. Good night's sleep. Say larga la sonido S. I got a good night's sleep last night. All right. Which is true, by the way. I got a good night's sleep last night. Yeah. Really. I woke up only once. It's not normal. Usually I wake up two or three times. By the way, is brethren the normal way to say the plural of brother? No. The plural of brother is brothers. Oh. Okay. Richard, how many brothers do you have? Well, I don't have any. Hombre, la que vive en Colorado. Well, that's a sister. Oh, that's right. Brothers means hermanos varones. Yes. Yeah, I have one sister, but I don't have any brothers. Yes. Brothers means hermanos varones only. If you want to say both, nowadays people say siblings. Siblings. When I was growing up, it's just brothers and sisters. And I still say, how many brothers and sisters do you have? I never say, how many siblings do you have? Sounds funny to me. It's not from my generation. In my generation, siblings meant los hermanos cachorros de camada. Es una camada. Say to siblings. When you, animal psychology, when you study animal psychology and the animal world, we talk about the siblings. Now, starting in the 1980s or sometime, siblings penetrated into normal language for hermanos humanos, human brothers and sisters. They say siblings, and for me it sounds awful. I hate it. But I hear it. I don't say anything. I say, no, my siblings. Well, no, all my siblings live in the States, or all my siblings live in Scotland. Oh, my God, I think of monkeys. I do. I think of monkeys when they say that. My siblings, all of my siblings. No, my parents now live in Spain, but all of them, and I live here with my parents, but all of my siblings are still in the States. I think of chimpanzees on the tree branches when they say that. So I don't say it, and I don't teach it. Well, I'll teach it for my students to understand it if they hear it. But I don't teach it. I don't insist that my students assimilate that word into their active verbal speech. So, brethren isn't the normal way to say the plural of brother. The normal way is brothers. Hermanos, brothers. But brethren is used for hermanos religiosos. But I still think in many cases they say brothers. I can imagine the head of the of a religious order, a monastic order, orden monástico, el, how do you say, el fraile jefe, el abad de la abadía, the abbot says, my brothers, we have made a decision. Oh, yes, we have decided to remodel the abbey. Oh, good. And we're going to change the name. Oh, good. What's the new name of the abbey? We're going to call it Westminster Abbey. Westminster, what a funny name. Why? Why don't we continue calling it Johnny's Abbey? Because we've decided that Westminster is the best name for this abbey. And we foresee greatness for this abbey here in this little town of Londinium, London. Westminster Abbey. So the abbot, he says, my brothers, he would probably say, not my brethren. I don't think we use the word brethren very often. Brethren, but it's one of the three words in the English language in which the plural is en. One brother, two brethren, one child, two children, one ox, two oxen, un buey, dos bueyes, one little, two little, three little oxen, four little, five little, six little oxen, seven little, eight little, nine little oxen, one little oxen, ox, all right, one little ox, yes, an ox, strange word for buey. It's strange. O-X. What a strange word. I wonder what the etymology is of ox. I've never looked that up. Etymology of ox. Ox. Germanic. Old English. Oxa. Oxa. O-X-A in Old English. In Dutch, os. O-S. In German, ochse. O-C-H-S-E, all right. Strange. And it's even stranger that the plural is oxen. Yes, oxen. It really is. So, my friend Oxford, the other day, I think yesterday or the day before, I was telling you that Oxford, the famous University of Oxford, means vado de bueyes, o vado para bueyes, para que crucen los bueyes. Because originally, maybe 1,000 years ago, that location was where the oxen were able to cross the river with fewer problems. And so a little community rose up around that point because there were a lot of people crossing the river there. And so it was a natural place to start a town. And it became the famous town of Oxford with the famous University of Oxford. All right. A little bit of cultural enrichment in our English class today. So, have you ever seen your face on a billboard? You know, I don't think so. I've never seen my face on a billboard. Billboard es una valla publicitaria de las grandes en las carreteras o ciudades a veces. These billboards. I've never seen my face on a billboard. Now, I've seen my face in three places. On the side of a bus, municipal bus, a local bus. On the side of a bus. On the back of a bus. And on Marquesinas. And I don't know how to say Marquesina in Spanish. Excuse me, in English. Marquesina is a bus shelter. Okay. All right. A bus shelter. A bus canopy. All right. Now I know. Yes. Marquesina. The Spanish definition. Especie de cubierto tejadillo en una entrada andén parada de autobús, etc. que los resguarda de la lluvia. Okay, los es la gente. All right. So, when we had the coleccionables del diario El Mundo, La Vanguardia, my face was everywhere. It was everywhere. On Marquesinas, on the bus shelters, all over the city. And everywhere. Oh, there I am, there I am. And then on the side of buses in some cities, or in the back of a bus. I remember I went to Pamplona by train. And I was picked up by a friend of mine who works in the University of Navarre. Who has 11 children, by the way. He has 11 children. Santi. His name is Santiago. Santi. Typical. He was driving from the bus, from the train station to the university. And we were crossing through a central area. And we had to stop at a traffic light, and in front of us was a bus. And on the back of the bus was me, looking back at me. And my friend, who was driving the car, Santi. And he said, "Jo, te tengo hasta la sopa, chico." That was me. My picture on the back of a bus. But on a billboard, una valla publicitaria de las grandes, I don't think so. I don't think I've ever seen my face on a billboard. I don't think my face has ever been. Fíjate que estoy diciendo siempre, no creo, no pienso, I don't think. En español se diría, creo que no he aparecido en una valla publicitaria. Pero en inglés siempre empezamos con la negación, no creo que haya aparecido. I don't think I've ever appeared on a billboard. All right. One more question. Is resorting to threats a valid way to motivate people to do things? No, it's not. El recurrir a amenazas. Es que el sujeto is a phrasal subject. It's a subject clause. Resorting to threats. Resorting to threats. Is resorting to threats a valid way to motivate people to do things? No, it's not. It's not a valid way. It's effective with many, many people in the short run and in the medium term, perhaps. But in the long term, it's counterproductive. People will flee. La gente huirá. Habrá una huida, huida. There will be un espantado. There will be a flight. People will flee. It's interesting. Una huida is a flight. Como vuelo. People will flee from you in the long, medium to long term. So in the short term, threatening can be effective, but it's not recommended. Yeah, there are a lot of ways. You can point a gun at a person to motivate. You're going to, please, I want you to fill out that form right now. Otherwise, I'm going to shoot you. And you point a gun at them, it's extraordinarily effective, of course. But that's not the way to run a business. That's not the way to lead an organization or manage an organization of people. You need to gain their commitment. You need to gain their commitment. Ganar su compromiso. And you do that through positive leadership, in which the people want to work with you or for you. They want to. And you need to stop and think, what kind of person do I need to be? And what do I need to emanate so that people will want to work with me and will want to help me reach the objectives? It's a very simple question with a very simple answer, in my opinion. But surprisingly, there are very few managers, leaders, even politicians who can get the commitment of the people. Spain needs a person in the Moncloa that can gain the commitment of the people. It's very few times in history has Spain had the right person in the center of authority. But not only Spain, but practically every country. Positive, powerful leadership with managerial skills is very rare. Positive, inspirational leadership together with managerial skills, habilidades de gestión, is a very rare quality. Well, it's not so rare, but the people who possess that are not interested in getting into politics, sadly. With this, I'll say goodbye. I have to go. Take care. Have a good one. Bye-bye.
Si tienes alguna duda o necesitas información sobre cualquiera de nuestros cursos, llámanos al 91-133-5833. Repito, 91-133-5833.
Okay, now, tell me you want to do 10 more push-ups.
I want to do 10 more push-ups.
Very good. Ask me if I'll tell you to do 10 more.
Will you tell me to do 10 more?